I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, from verse 1 to 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, that through this common story we are reminded of the greatest gift ever given us, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. I pray that you would give us a fresh perspective of Christmas today through this message. Give us hearts and minds, we pray, to hear from you so that we would be changed forever. In the name of Jesus and to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Well, Christmas has finally arrived. We've been waiting all through Advent, anticipating and preparing for this day. See, I think my kids are the only ones that are here. How long have you been waiting for Christmas? A long time. Okay. Have you managed to open any of your presents yet? Just the stockings. Okay. We've got to keep them on a short leash. A year can seem like a very long time, can't it? I know that Noah here, our youngest, he starts asking around November already, when is Christmas coming? Is it here yet? And I guess he notices the early advertising in the supermarkets, and he sees the lights and the trees and the jolly fat man in a red suit all over the place. We can't miss it. Or can we? Now imagine having to wait hundreds of years for the promised Messiah to come, as was the case with God's chosen people. The prophet Jeremiah, speaking of the Messiah around 600 years before Jesus was born, said in chapter 23, verses 5 to 6, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Now the prophet Isaiah said something similar almost 100 years before that. There are in fact around 350 Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, even down to the place where he would be born. Micah 5 verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel." And so there is no doubt that Jesus was the Messiah that everyone had been waiting for. But let's back up a little bit. If we knew the Messiah was coming, even if we didn't know when he was coming, and knew where he would be born, we would prepare the best place for him, wouldn't we? We would make sure that there was a well-stocked maternity clinic in Bethlehem with at least one empty bed available at all times. We would make sure that there was a doctor, or at the very least a midwife, available on call 24/7. We would build a crib fit for a king and kitted out with woolen or perhaps cashmere blankets. We would start a trust fund for him and make sure that the local kindy was prepared to take him in and provide him with the best education that money could buy. We would have a messenger at the ready, prepared to herald the whole world with the good news of the arrival of the Messiah. And of course, we would prepare a feast, being Presbyterians, in his honor. We would be ready. The question remains, will you be ready when he comes again? John 1, verses 10 to 11 tell us, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. If you recall the account in Matthew 2, the wise men, they follow the star and they come to Herod in Jerusalem asking where the king of the Jews could be found. And Herod is, of course, threatened by this, and he calls the chief priests and the scribes together to find out where the Messiah would be born. The answer in verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, of course referring to Micah. Now these chief priests and scribes, they knew the scriptures better than anyone. If they knew that the Messiah was coming and where he was to be born, why weren't they paying attention? What were they doing in Jerusalem? Why weren't they in Bethlehem preparing the way? Well, of course, Jerusalem was where the temple was. It was the religious hub for the Jews. And it was where the money and the opportunities were. These chief priests and scribes were important people, and their positions and their comforts were derived from their religious activities. In contrast, Bethlehem was a nothing town in the hills, consisting of a few farmers and tradesmen. It really was the little town that we sing about. Perhaps these religious leaders had taken the attitude of their king Herod and were corrupted by power or by their own evil desires. Or perhaps they didn't really believe what the scriptures foretold. It was simply a lovely story. There was no room in their hearts for the Messiah. May we never become so enamored by our religious tasks, our rituals and our activities, especially at Christmas time, that we miss the reason for the season. The King of Glory. The Christ of Christmas. May Christmas be more than a lovely feel-good story. May we have ample room in our hearts for the Christ of Christmas. And so Jesus was not born in a maternity clinic, not even in a room, but in a place where animals lived, ate, and defecated, because there was no room for them in the inn. We're all familiar with the nativity scenes found on Christmas cards, where the animals all look on lovingly at the smiling baby lying in the crib. The reality is, of course, more common than that. It would have been dark, damp, dirty, noisy, and rather smelly. The inn mentioned here was most likely a common house with one or two guest rooms. And these rooms would be upstairs, and the courtyard, there would be a courtyard of sorts downstairs, where the animals would sleep at night. These dwellings were often built against rocky outcrops to give them some kind of structural stability. And so they were mostly cold and damp. There were no beds. The only item of furniture was a manger, a feeding trough for the animals, not a crib fit for a king. Now, according to archaeologists, the manger was most likely carved out of stone so that it could also hold water. And here Mary wraps the Son of God in swaddling cloths and places him in a manger that belongs to someone else. Now when I look at this manger, I'm reminded that 3 decades later the Messiah would once again be wrapped in strips of linen and placed on a stone slab in a tomb that belonged to someone else. This time, in my place, and in your place, after dying for our sins and taking the punishment that we deserve on a cross. So do you see the pattern here? The manger was just the start of a long journey along the path of humility and obedience. You're all familiar with Philippians 2, 7 to 8. Tells us he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was not born into wealth, and he never received the best education. Joseph, his earthly father, was a lowly carpenter, and throughout his ministry we're told that Jesus had no place to lay his head. Perhaps the only place he considered home was his father's house. J.I. Packer said, "The Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity. Hope of pardon, hope of peace with God, hope of glory, because at the Father's will, Jesus became poor and was born in a stable so that 30 years later he might hang on a cross." There were no dignitaries to welcome his arrival, but rather some shepherds from a nearby field. According to Jewish literature, these shepherds would have been raising sheep for temple sacrifices. And here they are paying homage to the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. There was no feast to honor his arrival. Yet, in Bethlehem, pronounced Bethlehem in Hebrew, meaning house of bread, we see the bread of life is born. I'm reminded that 30 years later, Jesus would break the bread at the Last Supper, saying, "This is my body, given for you." The religious people of the day missed the coming Messiah because they were awaiting a mighty warrior who would rescue them from Roman oppression and establish an indestructible earthly kingdom. They wanted political liberty, and the Messiah offered them freedom from sin. They wanted autonomy and prosperity, and the Savior called them to die to self. They wanted a strong ruler, and they got a humble carpenter. They wanted a mighty warrior, and the Son of God came as a helpless baby. And so there was no room for this Jesus in their agendas. Who is Jesus to you? Is he a Christmas card? Is he a politically correct, good example to follow? Is he a liberal philanthropist that ignores our sin for the sake of love? Is he a genie to be called upon when we want something? Is he a Jesus of your own making? Or is he the Jesus of Scripture that we've just read about? Is there room in your heart for this Jesus? In Isaiah 66, God asks the question, "Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be?" Is it in a building, a religious activity, a ritual? Is it in the hearts of those that pay attention to Christ once or twice a year? The answer These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. God's resting place is in the hearts of those that know, love, honor, and obey Him. The humble and contrite, it says. The poor in spirit. There is no room for God and pride. Is there room in your heart for Jesus? The Savior of the world came to us in love, knowing that He would be despised and rejected by many. Listen to these words from Isaiah. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, He was despised, and we held Him in low esteem. Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. Yet who of His generation protested? For He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people He was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, though He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in His mouth. Surely this is the God worthy of our worship. He knew what He was in for, yet still He chose to leave the glory of heaven and become Emmanuel, God with us. A God who would humble Himself, face death at the hands of His creation, for His creation, is more than able to save us. John MacArthur said, if we could condense all the truths of Christmas into only three words, these would be the words, God with us. We tend to focus our attention at Christmas on the infancy of Christ. The greater truth of the holiday, he said, is His deity. More astonishing than a baby in a manger is the truth that this promised baby is the omnipotent creator of the heavens and the earth. There may have been no room for them in the inn, but He came so that we could be reconciled to Him. He made room for us. Is there room in your heart for the Creator of the heavens and the earth? I mentioned at last night's service that as good as these things might be, Christmas is not about the giving and receiving of gifts. It's not about the food, the lights, the tree. It's not even about family. The Christmas story is God's story, and He invites each one of us to enter in. Because it is here that we meet the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the great I Am. This helpless babe is the God of hope and promise. Is there room in your heart for Him? Please enjoy the video that we're about to watch as you ponder this question.